And welcome to the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's October 25th, 2016. 5 more days left in October, and then we hit the big November.
We can start counting down. Well, some people, Cassie, are already starting to count down the days to Christmas. I was driving into work this morning, and there are Christmas tree lights at the pool store.
Yes, yes.
And it's just shocking, you know, because like, yeah, but it's getting very close. I'm still recovering from last Christmas. We still have our tree up.
The image of that, the Christmas lights at the pool store.
It's just Florida. Yeah. But I don't know why. I don't know whether they're decorations or they're part of their window displays.
Yeah. You
know, I couldn't tell. It's dark.
Yeah.
Because we did this early in the morning.
So. It is early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on the Today Show.
It is today.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, not quite that early.
I asked you about the coffee. You said it's a couple hours late. It's not even 7 o'clock and the coffee's a couple of hours ago. So.
Well, you know. Got to get going.
But it's good to talk about these sorts of things because today's topic is...
Today we hit mental health in the news. That's on Tuesdays. Right. And we've talked a little bit about positive psychology before, but there was this great article. It's in Quartz, but it says at the bottom that it was originally published in another magazine. That is not coming up for me. Oh, that's because I went too far. It was in The Conversation was the original, where the original article was written. Mm-hmm. But it was written by an instructor, a lecturer in applied positive psychology at the University of East London. His name is Tim Lumas. And the title of the article is "Positive: Don't Worry, Be Happy. Positive psychology is rooted in the radical idea that you are not a problem to fix."
Right. And you're right. We have talked about this. We've referred to this a few times in the past.
Right.
We've never done a whole program. But in a nutshell, positive psychology is?
It's the idea of, well, let me start out with this quote that they have in here.
Because I think
it's fantastic.
Right, I agree.
The article starts out with a quote from Sigmund Freud. Mm-hmm. And he says that, you know, all we can ever hope to do is to change neurotic misery into common unhappiness.
Right. That's optimistic.
That if there's a quote that personifies Sigmund Freud,
it is. So he's saying you can change
neurotic misery.
Misery.
Oh,
misery.
Into common
unhappiness.
Yeah. And so the idea from that was, and this is sort of the root or the history of psychology and mental health and everything, is that we are unhappy people. We are unhappy creatures that we have this tendency towards neuroticism, and that we need that it's rooted in these underlying conflicts and underlying drives. Sigmund Freud kind of based that in his early stages of development.
Right.
And that we have these early conflicts that have to be resolved if we hope to go from neurotic misery to common unhappiness.
And he was right. We all have a degree of neuroticism in us.
Right.
Some have more than others, but all of us have some. You know, Myers-Briggs
you
know, has a neuroticism scale. So it's acknowledged that all of us have some degree of neuroticism.
Right.
You can't let it get out of hand. You can't let it take hold. But we all have it. Some people have more than others.
Right.
And so what Freud was saying is, if you have neurotic misery, you know, the goal was to dial that back to some kind of unhappiness. You might not be able to get rid of it, but you can at least reduce it.
Right, and I think that if we think about the time frame in which Freud was practicing and he was developing his theories, I think a lot of that makes sense. I mean, let's not forget, Freud was he was trained in hypnotism.
Right.
He was, you know, his primary or many of his patients were housewives, women of individuals with wealth and individuals with a high means that were away a lot, they were gone a lot. And, you know, the expectations of women at the time were what they were. And so we had these women who were, in using his words, they were neurotic, they were stressed, they were confined, they were restricted, they were under the thumb of their husbands and whomever else their husband said that they needed to be under the thumb of. And so he was working with a population that would probably lead most of us to some of these same perspectives.
Right. Yeah, it would increase the neurotic factor because he was practicing in Victorian Europe.
Right.
And in Victorian Europe, women had no rights. They had no property rights.
Right.
They couldn't own anything. And so they literally were captives. These were the days when men, it was acceptable for men to maintain a mistress, you know, have an apartment, maintain a mistress, but not for women. You know?
Right.
And so women were expected to stay home and be proper and take care of the children and run the household.
Right.
Men went out and worked and did whatever they wanted to do. But yeah, so it was within that context. So yeah, it's easy to understand how a woman would become more neurotic in that system.
Right. And as time passed, you know, and more people were looking at this, and the, I guess we could say the population of individuals that were receiving mental health treatment expanded, our views of some of this stuff changed. So in the 1960s, 1968, we have this guy, Maslow, who is a very well-known psychologist and researcher and theorist, and he wrote, it is as if Freud supplied us the sick half of psychology, and we must now fill it out with the healthy half. And so this was was the beginning of a movement into, you know what, we're not all sick. We don't all have that neurotic misery that Freud talked about.
That's right, because what Freud was focusing on was individuals who did have a high neuroticism factor.
And I think he generalized from that.
Right.
Because that's what we tend to do, is we tend to generalize. I know that when I was a graduate student and I was working in the Department of Pediatrics, I worked in the early steps program and in the NICU and things like that. You see all of these little ones who are very sick and have developmental and genetic disabilities and things like that. And I know that when we were having my son, within a couple of years around that, I begin to get very anxious because you expect that to happen that's what you're working with, and so you kind of generalize that.
Yeah, I worked in pediatric neurology, and it was the same thing. Every single day of the week, from morning till night, or from the beginning of the clinic until the end, you saw children with neuromuscular and neurological disorders, and you begin to think that everybody is.
Right.
You know, so when you start having your own children, you worry because you have this perspective.
Right.
And that's what Freud brought to it. But what Freud brings is, this is how you deal with people who are really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't the whole picture.
Right.
Okay. And so Maslow comes along in, when was it? 1968.
68. Mm-hmm.
And said, there's another whole group of people here, in fact, maybe most of us, who are not in those categories.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And over the years, it became more and more popular to think about things. And then, of course, in the 90s, we have, a guy that we have talked about a lot of times before, especially with patients and stuff, and that's Martin Seligman, who talked about learned helplessness, and maybe more specifically, his other book called The Optimistic Child, who talks about optimism and thinking positively and looking forward to things and creating positivity by emanating positivity.
Right. Freud explained what it was like to be neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seligman and Maslow talked about what it was like to be healthy,
right?
Emotionally healthy, you know, and how do you become emotionally healthy? You know, we know about neuroticism and psychoticism and sociopathy, psychopathy. We have explored those issues and continue to explore them.
Right.
But there is another branch, and I never really associated that with Maslow. We talked about this in class last week, but I never associated positive psychology with Maslow, but it really is.
Right, because remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, the pyramid.
And so one of the things Maslow talked about is we have to work towards that peak, that self-actualization, and that if we attain that, which very, very few people have ever reached that.
That's right.
Reaching that, you know, puts you at another psychological level.
Right.
You know, we can approach that. We can get close to that. But you know, he talked. I think that there have been some estimations that individuals, maybe like Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa, those individuals have sort of reached that self-actualization level. but most people most don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, so when we think about positive psychology, we have to think about, and I know that I've said, and I, you know, I'm stuttering a little bit because I've said this to my patients, but I don't know that I cognizantly associated this with positive psychology, and that is, you know, we are who we are, and if we look at ourselves as though we're broken and that we're impaired and that we're limited and that we we only have challenges ahead of us, my goodness, that's a bleak impression of the future. That's a very pessimistic view. And then again, as we've talked about before, when you anticipate negativity, you're going to experience negativity because that's what you're looking for. You're expecting that to happen, and so mm-hmm. you're going to look for validation that yes, there it is. That right. I knew that was going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So positive psychology moves us in the direction of thinking, you know, I'm not broken. I have these strengths. I have these limitations, and I can use these strengths to overcome these limitations, and make the best out of my life and world that the world that I live in.
And I think of all the teenagers that we see.
Right.
Teenagers in particular, not only teenagers, but teenagers get stuck mm-hmm. in this very thing because many of them tend to emphasize the what they consider negative
right.
characteristics.
Right.
You know, they're regardless of what they really are, they tend to emphasize a few minor negative characteristics.
Right.
And they dwell on those, and it affects their personality development
right.
because they're dwelling on the negative rather than the positive. And a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy is about reworking our thinking
right.
so that you begin to think about the positives rather than the negatives.
Right. Well, with adolescents, you have the whole idea of the personal fable. You
right.
know, they believe that their world is the only world,
right.
and
right.
they're the ones on stage, and they're mm-hmm. the ones everybody's focusing on.
Everybody's watching.
But you're right. We have sort of, I think we have two groups, and another article that I read this morning that's not exactly related mm-hmm. to this, but, you know, are we living in a world of narcissism?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we, just as you were saying, we have that whole group of adolescents and individuals who sort of have that negative mm-hmm. view of things. We have an entirely other group of individuals who give themselves way too much credit.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. they feel and believe as though their strengths and their abilities far exceed reality.
Right.
And you know, they begin to have expectations, and then they begin to feel as though they deserve mm-hmm. To have positive things happen in their life,
right.
whether they're doing anything to earn
whether
or to achieve those positive things
right.
or not. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have, you know, that's sort of the depiction of the two extremes of these two. You know, right. on one end, you have the extreme of what Freud talked about with neuroticism, and
right.
everything is bleak and everything is negative. Then you have the almost the pathological extreme of positive psychology.
The Facebook me.
Right. Know. The selfies every couple
right.
of minutes. I love watching those. It's a dirty pleasure, I think. But I love watching those videos of people, you know, they're at a sporting event or they're
mm-hmm.
at this big event, and anybody would be like in awe to be there. And you see those teenagers in the background taking selfies of themselves. It's like they're not even watching or paying attention to what's going on. You know, the world is just happening around them, and all they're focused on is me.
Well, there's the neurotic self, but then there is this
narcissistic self.
Narcissistic, created
right.
Facebook self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a new show on Netflix. It's a new series. Well, a new season. It's a series that's been out, or a program that's been out for a while. They did two seasons in the past, and now this third season, by like pressure that has been placed on them, they went ahead and
by
did
popular
another.
Demand.
Yeah, it's a very interesting program called Black Mirror. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. A lot of the podcasts I listen to have been sponsored by Black Mirror. I wish that we were sponsored by Black Mirror, but we're not.
Well, Mirror, if you're listening.
Yeah, that's right. Whoever you may be, Black Mirror.
Whoever Black Mirror is, give us a call.
But Black Mirror, it's almost like I think that it's been characterized as sort of like a Twilight Zone type of show, but it's more futuristic, more technological, and it talks about what could happen if technology continues in certain directions and some of
right.
the problems. And one of the more recent episodes is all about the likes and that
yeah.
social acceptability. And so
how many
everything,
likes you
your
get?
Value is based upon how many likes you get and how you're rated by other people. Mm-hmm. And so they have these things, and you know, everybody's walking around, and almost all of their programs have something where you have in your eyes, you can sort of see data about other people. Right. And so you look at somebody and their little number comes up here, so you can see that, oh, he's a 4.1 out of 5. Or she's
rated.
That's just how people, you know, the average rating for that person.
Well, that's interesting, because
and your credit score is based upon your approval rating, and you can't get, you can't buy certain bus tickets or train or plane tickets and stuff like that if you don't have a certain level of approvability. It's an interesting perspective.
China's doing that.
Yeah. See,
they're collecting data.
Black Mirror, you knew the future.
And by 2025, they're going to be able to. They're going to be able to make a judgment about every single Chinese person, and that will determine whether you get credit, where you go to school.
That's interesting.
And it's called big data, and they're collecting data on everything that the citizens do, and it will determine where you're able to work, if you're able to get credit, where you can buy a house, where you can send your kids to school, how many children you can have.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there was an article this morning about that. It's called Big Data in China.
They couldn't call it Big Brother because we've got that.
We did that.
Yeah, so they have to have big data. Well, that's really interesting.
And you get a score. They compared it to like kids in school.
Yeah.
You know, students who get a score on a single test.
That's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. But it's sort of that extreme idea of that sort of narcissistic side. They're a little bit too positive. Mm-hmm. You want to have a good balance, I think. I really like the idea of positive psychology, but we do have to be careful that we don't attempt to live in such a utopian world that we fail to see the reality of issues going on around us. Mm-hmm. You know, that we refuse to look at things the way that they need to be examined, and we miss things because we're only trying to look at these positive things and we miss some of the negative things or the challenging things that help us grow just as much.
Right. Right. But at its core, positive psychology is about these are the things you need to do to be emotionally healthy.
Right.
You know, these are the things you need to do to have a positive outlook, to have a positive outcome. You know, William Glasser was famous in this. I mean, he sort of bridged those two because he said even if you have neurotic misery, depression, anxiety, etc., he said you can change that by making different choices.
Right.
You know, it's called choice therapy.
Right.
And you can change it even if you're miserable. You can choose to be something else.
Right.
Okay. You may need help. You may need assistance, but you can do it. And so he sort of bridged Freud's neuroticism with Seligman's or Maslow's positive psychology and said there is a way to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so
absolutely.
Yep.
So take that. And I'll post the link in the show notes, but we'd encourage you to take that and try to find some positivity in your life. You know, not too much. You know, don't go around doing selfies and
don't worry about how many likes you get.
Get your likes up. How could I have posted that and nobody liked it?
Right, you can buy some likes.
That's true. That's true. They're trying to limit that, but it's you can. But enjoy some positivity. Learn from some of the more challenging things that happen, but certainly enjoy some positivity. Create some positivity in your life, and you will find that things go smoother. Mm-hmm. They're easier, and you will in fact be happier.
It's early in the week,
yes.
So turn your lenses on to some positive things. Okay,
yeah.
Think about some positive things. In another week, we're going to be into a new month.
Right,
another chance. Another opportunity to become positive. So plenty of opportunities coming up.
Absolutely. So, all right. So enjoy the rest of your day today. We will be back first thing tomorrow
morning. Grab bag.
Yeah.
Wednesday?
Yeah. No, Wednesday. No, Wednesday is letters from listeners.
Oh, letters. That's right.
Thursday is grab bag. So I'll keep him on track. It's all right. So, all right. That's why I have to get here early. It's because I have to keep everything organized. All right. So you guys have a great day today, and we'll be back in the morning.
Good day.
Bye-bye.